Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on broadcast today. We thank God for each and every one of you that will log in, those that will call in, and even those that will join us here on Facebook Live. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for just another day. And we thank God. Every morning when I get up, I got a whole list of thank you. Thank you to the Lord. I always tell him thank you for waking me up this morning. And Lord, thank you for letting me get up this morning, be able to get up. So thank you for the activity, use of my limbs, and thank you for all my senses working. I thank him for being in my right mind and him keeping my mind and keeping me safe all night. It's so much for us to be thankful for when we really think about some things that other people are going through that we have not had to go through. We ought to be thankful. It ought to be a praise coming out of our mouth at all times, because I'm telling you, God has been just that good to us, and I'm so thankful. Thank God for seeing 2020. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was real young, we were counting, you know, trying to see how old we were going to be in 2020. Well, we here. Praise the Lord. And so thankful for that. Thankful for that. You know, I always talk about my church. And I know your people, your pastors at your church was preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, but I'm telling you, my pastor was really preaching this morning. And I always encourage you to go back and listen to that broadcast, because I don't do it any justice, and he don't need no promotion. But anyway, the Lord came by and blessed us today, and so we're so thankful for that. And I thank God for those on the line with me. I'm not sure if that's Sister Dodson or Elder Dodson. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Dodson.
Sister Dodson, how are you? Thank God for you. Okay, you know, we've been talking about church. We've been doing a series called Building a Better Relationship with God. And so I think we got two or three more topics left in the series. I think we got three more topics left in the series, which is commitment, consistency, and I think it's patience. And those are the three topics that are left. And I'm talking about trust, and I think Elder Timberlake has two more, because you know she had something going on, so she had to wait. So she's going to come back and finish humility, and so she'll be doing that. Praise the Lord, Elder Dunn, she'll be coming back to finish that up. But I'm talking about trust. I probably got about, I want to say maybe two, maybe three more teachings on trust. So we just walking through the Word with it, talking about trusting God. And so when we left off the last time, I think it was before Christmas, I was talking about Numbers 13 and 14, where they were at Kadesh Barnea, and how their lack of trust caused them not to make it over into the promised land, because they knew what God had said to them. They knew the land, because they repeated it. They said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. So they knew what God had told them. But they got fearful when they went over in the land and saw the sons of Amalek and all of those different ones, the giants and things, and so they got a little weary when they saw that. And so then they came back with that bad report, but Joshua and Caleb came back. He said, we are well able to take the land, and we need to go and do this. And he said, they are just like, they weren't nothing to them, he said, because he knew that when they went over there, that God was with them. And if God is with us, God had been fighting for them. This wasn't nothing new. God had been fighting for them. And so he knew that God was going to fight for them again, because God had promised them the land. And so that's what we got to be encouraged about. If God has promised us something, we have got to make sure that we stand on the promises of God. We got to stand on the Word of God. We can't keep flip-flopping back and forth. Well, I'm believing, and then we'll say, no, I believe God. And then we got to wait some more. Oh, I don't know. We got to be able to trust God during the waiting period, because sometimes that waiting period is for our good anyway. It should draw us closer to God and not into a point where, Lord, I don't know where you are. Where you got to know this and this. Just trust God. If he hasn't answered yet, that means that it's going to work out for your good, whichever way it goes. But still, he's going to answer us. One thing about God, God keeps his promises. Now, man, he may not keep nothing he say. We don't know. And so, but one thing we can be assured of is that God keeps his promises. And so we're talking about trust today, and my scripture reference for today is Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. And probably I really should read 5 through 8. Let me see. I think I got it on here. Let me see if I put it on 5, verse 5 and 8 on here. If not, I'm reading this Bible. Okay. Oh, you know, I went and got me a, this is fun. So I went and got a large print Bible. It's a date Bible. I went and got that large, look how big his Bible is. I said, Lord, it looked like one of them coffee table Bibles. And I went in church with it. It was so heavy. I thought, my God, this is heavy. But anyway, if I read, I'm going to read Jeremiah 5 through 8, and this is our base scripture for today. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not in the salt land, and not in inhabited. And but then verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And so I was thinking about that particular scripture, and let me it was something else. Oh, I was gonna read it in a different version because this version really is a blessing. It's the Living Version. I got in a couple of them on this page, but let me read the. Now, this is in the Message Bible. And it says, the Message Bible says, but blessed is the man who trusts me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees planted in Eden, putting down roots near the river, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through drought, bearing fresh fruit every season. And so that is awesome to think about when you think about it, you know, what it is. When you trust in God, the promise that God has made, look at the promises that God made them just because they trusted in God. Where it's Psalm, I think it's Psalm 20:7 that says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And then Psalms 118:8-9 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so we have to understand that our trust has got to be in the Lord. And I know sometimes faith, trust, and belief kind of get, you know, it's in there together. So sometimes it kind of gets muffled together. But faith is a strong belief in someone or something without logical proof. Now, that's what faith is. Faith is. Faith, like faith says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the thing that we believe in, but we don't have no logical proof for it. But trust is a firm reliance on the character or integrity of another. So when we trust in God, we are trusting in his character, we are trusting in his integrity, we are trusting in his word of God. Trust is largely based on evidence. So these are things that we know that God will do. These are things that we have either seen him do, we've heard it through testimony of others, or we have read it in the word of God. And so we know what God is going to do. So we trust in him because of that. And then I think it's Nelson's Bible, I read it says, define faith as a belief in or confident attitude toward God, move involving commitment to his will for one's life. And then it says belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. And so that's what we do when we accept God's word. We are placing our belief in God's truth, and we're trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. So here we are in Jeremiah. It says of Jeremiah, what was going on? Of course, Judah had went back to worshiping idols, worshiping the wooden gods, and they were trusting more in man and in their military strength than they were in God. And I when I read that, I was trying to figure out how are we trusting in our military strength when every battle that they fought, God was the one fighting the battle for them, and he was the one that won the battle. Because sometimes, you know, they would be in there fighting, they would be getting ready to go to battle, and God would cause such a confusion over on the other side that them people would fight amongst each other. And when Israel got over there, the battle was already won. The battle was already done. And all they had to do was go over there and get the spoil. But here arrogance come in. And so arrogance come in. They go to worshiping these idol gods, and then they begin to trust in their own military strength, and they begin to trust in, you know, in these wooden gods. Now, I don't know, you know, sometimes we might not have the same, it might not be a wooden god for us, but we trust in things other things too. And because it wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't something that was going on. And so the thing about it is what are we trusting in? Who are we trusting in? Is our trust in God or is it in man? Is our trust in the job? Do we trust in that job to be a provider? Or do we understand that God is the one that is providing? That God is the one that has given the increase to us. By it may be coming through that format, but we don't trust in that. We trust in God because, you know, they quick to give you a piece of paper and tell you that, you know, they don't need you no more. Or they quick to do that if it's about money. I remember the one job I was on, they wanted to win some contracts, so they went to cutting us. They went to letting us go. And so we wasn't that important to them at that time because they were trying to get more money coming in the door, and so they was willing to let us go. They didn't care nothing about our house note, our car note, or how we was going to feed the children, how we was going to feed none. They didn't care anything about that. All they cared about was their bottom line and to make that bottom line look attractive to the people that they were trying to win the contract from. Of course, they didn't win none. So, you know, sometimes you can't do ugly because then ugly will come back at you. But anyway, you know, we got to make sure that regardless of what the circumstance look like, regardless of what's going on, that we are trusting in God, period. I say that at school. The kids will be like, I don't know, say period. No, period. That's who we're supposed to be trusting in. We need to trust in the Lord. And so here they were, their hearts had begun to get wicked. It said that their hearts had been engraved. In the ninth verse, it talks about their hearts had been engraved. It's almost like it was etched in stone, like they had become, their heart had become stony. And so they were just doing, you know, things. And so this is what was going on. But the one thing about God, if we go back to that seventh verse where it says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And so when I think about that, the two characteristics of a blessed man is he trusts in the Lord and he hopes in the Lord. Those are two characteristics of a blessed man. Are those your characteristics today? Do you trust in the Lord? Is your hope in the Lord? Those are things you got to answer for yourself, and you got to say, you're getting to ask God, say, Lord, am I trusting in anything else besides you? Am I trusting in money? Am I trusting in things? Am I trusting in you know, in jobs and in my businesses and all those things? Because whatever it is we're doing, God is the one providing. He is the source. He is allowing these things to feed us financially or to be a blessing to us financially. But at the end of the day, God is the source. And when that's the thing. Whether we have a job or don't have a job, we got to understand God is the source. Now, I had to find that out for myself. God is the source. I'm telling you, God has kept me. And people be over here looking real strange about the whole situation. They be saying, Denise, you need to be still because, I mean, the Lord has kept you. The Lord has blessed you. And if you knew the story, you would understand what they're talking about. But I'm telling you, the Lord can do mighty things, but you got to be willing to trust him. And you got to be willing to say, you know what, I don't know how this is going to come out. I know what I asked God for, and it's all out of my hand. And so you got to trust him for the outcome. And that's what we got to do. So many times we see in the Bible of the ones that did, you know, they God had promised them something. And they, like Abraham had talked to God. He almost talked to God. He had talked to God, had talked with him and told him what he was going to do. And yet when Sarah made the offer of Hagar to him, he went on with it. When he knew God had already promised him a seed, and it was not going to be a seed by somebody else. That ain't what God told him. He said, y'all going to have a baby. You and your wife are going to have a baby. But he went on with the program, whatever reason that was. He went on with what Sarah offered up. So they were trying to fix it for God. We don't have to fix things for God. When we have prayed and asked God for something, we ain't got to get in and start to fix it. You know, I do that. I analyze things. And so you begin to try to figure out how it's going to work out. It don't matter how it works out. Just believe God that it's going to work out. That's what we got to do. We got to get into a place where we trust God. And then we can be like these people. The blessed characteristics of a blessed man is he trusts in the Lord. Two, he hopes in the Lord. Verse 8 is a promise. This is a promise straight from God. He said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots in by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, those are promises. Those are the promises that God made up. So the blessed person, the result of the blessed person is he is like a tree planted by waters. He spreads out roots by the river. So you know if he's by the river, he's going to continue to be well watered because he's right there by the river. Shall not see when the heat comes, and when the heat comes, he don't care. He's trusting in the Lord. He's being taken care of by God. And then his leaves will be green, so he's well nourished because he's well watered because of the place he's in, because he's trusting in the Lord. Not careful in the years of drought, so drought can come, famine can come. He got it. His God got him, and so that he is okay. He don't have to worry about that. He's eating. It's like when Joseph was in Egypt and he interpreted the dream, and so he told them, "We're gonna start putting up the fifth part. So in the years of famine, we will have plenty." And so that's what we got to understand, that in this situation, even though it was going to be in the year of drought, they were still going to be the one that trusted in God was still going to have plenty. And then never cease to bear fruit. Said they didn't never cease to bear fruit. So even when they were in the drought, they were still bearing fruit. They were still doing well. How about that? How about if we trust God like that? So even in the time of drought, instead of us being anxious and all anxiety and worrying about stuff, we just chill out because we're going to continue to bear fruit even when it ain't no rain happening. We're going to continue to bear fruit. That's what God was saying in the time of drought. Because you trust in me, because you trust in God, these are the things that are going to happen. Ooh, you know, sometimes I hate that I get that news feed on my phone because I'm saying there'd be so much drama going on, but I'm thinking, Jesus, have mercy today. But anyway, we thank God for all that he is doing and how we got to trust. We got to trust him. And, you know, the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart. But at this time and place, Israel's heart was wicked. Their wicked heart was wicked, and so here they was going in a direction that they shouldn't have been going in again. Okay, so here they are. So I told you back in Numbers 13 and 14, when they were getting ready to go, was ready to go into the promised land, but because of the fear of what they saw when they got over there, now they saw that the land was full of milk and honey, but they feared the giants in the land. They feared what they saw, so then they came back, and they gave such an evil report that the 40 days they spent over spying the land, God gave them a year for each one of those days. And so all of the ones that came out of Egypt, they actually died except for Caleb and Joshua, and they didn't get to go into the promised land. But those two went in the promise, got to go over into the promised land, and then even Moses himself, he didn't get to go to the promised land because he smote that rock again instead of speaking to it like God said. So obedience is important. Obedience is important. And so, but God did allow him to see the promised land, because God himself said Moses was the best prophet ever. That's what God said. So the Lord he punished him. He didn't let him cross over, but he did let him see the land. So he got to see the promised land. But oh my God, just even to think about that, all of those years that he spent, and he was doing what God told him to do, but he let the people frustrate him. So this is what I'm saying. You can't let the people frustrate you so that you mess it up. Don't mess it up because of people and their foolishness. Stay focused on God. This we in, what, 2020, they call this the year of double-double. This is the year to be focused. And think about 2020, think about 2020 vision. Get your vision focused on God. Get things focused on God and let your focus stay there. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. This is a decade. You don't want to take your eyes off of Jesus. You got to keep them on Jesus. We got so much going on in the world right now. We better stay with Jesus. We better not still go on any other. Don't lose your trust. Don't lose your focus. Keep your vision on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him and stay focused on what God has told you to do. Don't walk in fear. Fear kept them from going to the promised land. You don't want fear to keep you from getting nothing that God has promised you. So you want to keep your trust in him. You want to keep your faith in him and all of that. Anybody else on the line got anything they want to say? Praise the Lord, El Timberlake. Anybody want to say, got anything they want to say?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I was looking at a documentary, and it was about the family of England, the Queen of England, and her husband and her children. And this is before the Queen that's there now. She was a child, so her father was still alive. So they went on a mission. I think it was to South Africa or something like that. Well, they went to South Africa, and they were gone for a long time. But meanwhile, while they were gone, their country, which was England, London, and all that, they were having a hard time. I think it had something to do with the energy, with the coal and all that stuff. And they were in a pretty bad way. But this royal family went on and did their goodwill tour. And I was thinking, I was watching them when they went through the goodwill tour and how this king, he wanted to turn around and go home because he was concerned about his country, but the people there admonished him that it was way more important to keep on persevering and going on and doing this tour because it would be greater. And I think the reason why I'm saying this, I was just thinking that we're king's kids, and God has us out to do things that are important. And even though stuff is going on around, and it was a lot going on at home for them, but they always smiled. They were always gracious. They were always, shaking people's hands in the midst of, I think they were even in there on the cusp of apartheid, you know, with the blacks on one side and the whites on the other side, but they maintained their grace. And that's what God wants us to do, to hold and maintain our grace, trust in him, even though stuff is going on all around, because we're royalty. We are royalty, and we belong to God. Oh, now there's a scripture about royal priesthood. I couldn't think of it. Chosen generation. We belong to God, so we must steady the course, keep doing what God says do, even though, like you're saying, stuff's going on all around us. But we have got to trust in God, and he will bring things out all right.
Yes. Thanks, Lord. Thank you, Minister Dobson. Well, I thank you for that. That was a good story and analogy of all of this. Okay. I was looking at my phone and saying the connection with something. But anyway, thank God for that story. I thank God for that because that ties in right into what we're saying. We have to stay, even though we may get weary, even though we may feel like, oh, I just want to quit, we got to keep on going. I was thinking about even the message this morning, and if he wasn't answering, I said, Lord, you know, I love God because God will answer you. He will answer you, and he answered so many things I had just talked about. And he was answering when he was telling, you know, we got to keep persevering. If we don't see, it may not look, it takes work to get the vision to come to pass. It takes work to get things off the ground. If you're a business owner or entrepreneur, or you trying to get something off the ground, it's going to take work. Don't get discouraged. If you got a ministry and you trying to get that going, don't get discouraged. Keep your focus, whatever it is you're doing. If whatever it is God has gifted you to do and you're trying to launch out there and do it, don't you lose your focus. Keep focused and keep persevering because God is going to bless it. He's going to bless it. If you trust him, he will bless it. If your faith is up, he will bless it. I'm telling you, he has given those things for you to do. And so there's no need. I know, believe me, I've been working on some stuff and And I'm trying to put it out there, and it seemed like it's just one thing after another. But you know what? And I was discouraged. I was just boo-hooing crying the other day, saying, well, Lord, you know, you told me to do it, and I'm doing it. has told me to do. Even like doing the broadcast, I think I got tired, or sometimes, you know, we get a little discouraged about things, and then we kind of like, well, I don't know, you know, man. You know, we go through all this emotion and stuff like that. And I told myself, no, this is what the Lord told me to do. And when I think it was my sister-in-law, she told me, she said, yeah, I saw the broadcast. Look, day, I really enjoyed it. I told myself, I said, thank you, Chief, because anyway, you know, when people really are not believers, and then they begin to say things, the God will send them your way to tell you that. Yeah, that's when you got to fuel you to keep going, because it may not be for the masses, but it is for those who it is for. And so you got to keep going and doing what you do, because if one soul comes to Christ, honey, you done your part. You done what the Lord has told you to do, because that's what we're after. We're after souls. We need people's souls to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. That's what we need. That's what we're after. That's what we're doing this for. It's because we want people to be saved, and we want people to have a foundation. Foundation. Somebody built it. Somebody laid a foundation for me in the Word. They taught me the Word of God, and so we were able to. That's just, I know, because you was right there with us, right there with me. We were able to really learn the Word of God and grasp hold of the Word of God, and it was hid in our hearts. And so because it was hid in our hearts, we've been able to stand. We've been like trees planted by the rivers of water. When the wind blows, we might move up, but we ain't rooted up, and we're not rooted out. We're able to stand. And so that's what you know. When you've done all the stand there for us, that's what the Bible tells you. We've been able to do that because of the Word of God that was planted down on the inside of us. I'm telling you, when it's down on the inside of you, it'll come up. It'll come up at that time you need it. Sometime a song might come up. You be sitting over there listening to something, and something happening here, a song will come up in your spirit. When you get that Word rooted down on the inside of you, I'm telling you, it makes a difference in your life. That's that foundation people need today. They got to have a strong foundation, a sure foundation. The house can't stand if the foundation, you know, they tell you that. If they pour a foundation for your house to be built on and there's a crack in it, they can't construct the house, because that's going to cause a problem. So they got to do the foundation where it is solid. That's why they pour the foundation and they let it sit for a while so that it can dry, so that it can get you know there. And even after the house is built, the foundation is still in a settling mode. You know, they tell you to water around the foundation. Make sure you water. That's what they do here in Texas. Water around the foundation, because you know you got to get it, got to settle. And sometimes when it settles a little off, or if it cracks or something, you'll see cracks begin to form in the house and things like that. But when we build that foundation on the Word of God, then we ain't seeing no cracks, because the Word of God is a sure foundation. And if we trust in Him like we're supposed to trust in Him, and don't waver back and forth just because of the circumstances that are going on. God wants us to trust Him even when dramas happen. It might be dramatic all around us, but keep your trust in the Lord. Keep your focus on what God is doing. These people had lost focus again. You know, they lost focus a lot. Because if you go over in that book of Judges, now they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's why the Lord had to keep sending a judge in to try to help them, because they kept going back and forth on serving God, and then they wasn't serving God. And we do the same thing sometimes. But we got to stay in obedience. That's what we have to stay in. You know, things can get a little off. It's easy to get a little off. But if you stay focused on what God has said, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will bring things back to your remembrance and cause you to straighten it up and get back on focus. God is such a loving God, because even though they were getting ready, they were going through what they were going through, and their hearts had become hard, and they started worshiping idol gods again, and they were really about to go into captivity. So this is around the time in Jeremiah they were getting ready to go into Babylonian captivity. But even though God was sending the Babylonians, and they were going to defeat them, and they were going to be in captivity and all of those kind of things, God hadn't forgot about them. When you look at this point, when you really study this particular scripture in Jeremiah, it looks like God is punishing them and that God has really just gave them over. But He didn't. He's such an awesome God. He didn't give them over fully. Now, He let them be captured. He let them be captured. He let them go into captivity. But even after they was in captivity and them Babylonians started doing too much, God sent somebody to get hold of them. You know what I'm saying? So God ain't forgot about you even in the times when things are going in disarray and it looks like things are not going the way you prayed, or it looks like things, we got to think about Job when we think about that. You know, Job was an upright man, and he pleased the Lord, all of these things, and still he had drama. So just because you're in the Lord don't mean you're not going to have stuff to go on. But what we have to do is keep our trust in the Lord. We can't trust in the military strength. We can't trust in man, because man will let you down. Man will flip flop in a minute. They will flip flop on you in a minute. Anybody else on the line got anything to say? Because the one thing about God, and you can come on in and I'll stop, but one thing about God, God tells us, he said he cannot change. He said men are subject to change, but God will not change. Hebrews tells us that two immutable things, he won't lie and he won't change. He's not going to lie and he's not going to change. Now, man will lie, but God cannot lie. So you got to take his word as truth, because his word is the truth. And so man's word, we don't know what. Sometimes we don't even know what's fueling the word of man. Sometimes we don't know if it's, you know, they say stuff to you. You're not sure sometimes. You're not even sure. But man can fail you, but God will never fail you. You got to understand that. So that's why you can put your trust in him, because he won't lie. He won't fail you. And then it says God is faithful. Man is not always faithful. He's not always faithful. He'll be faithful to you, then next day be faithful to somebody else. But God is faithful all the time. He is faithful all the time. And so we got to understand that that's who God is. God is a finisher. What it says, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is a finisher. What he started, he's going to finish. He said he's going to do the thing that he has set out to do. What's the scripture? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have to find the scripture. I didn't have that in my spirit, so I didn't look it up. But anyway, but he's a finisher. He will do it. God is a finisher. Where is that at? Let me see. Oh, okay. Isaiah 40:26-28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." God is a finisher. And then, of course, you know, the roll call of faith lets us know how men are not faithful, but God is faithful. And so we got to understand that. And then the next thing is God can do nothing but fail. Romans 4:21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he has promised," that's the scripture I was looking for, "he is able to perform." That's the scripture I was looking for right there. Thank you, Lord. And so anyway, those are some of the things that we got to remember about God. God is awesome. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say? It looks like I'm finishing faster than what I thought. But anyway, I'm going to be finished because I'll go on the rest of it next week, because I'm going to talk about Gideon a little bit. And then I'm going to talk about some of the people, how we try to fix things. You know, we'd be trying to fix it. You know, how Eve tried to fix it, how Sarah tried to fix it with Hagar. And we got to stop trying to fix it. Don't trust in man. Trust in God. Anybody else have anything they want to say? Let me go on. Let's see. And then the next thing is men. Let's see, I said that already. I went back up to say the same thing. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to talk about today, was talking about trust. I was talking real fast, probably, and I got too fast from what I thought. But then we were talking about trust, and then I was, I guess I could have went on and talked about Gideon, but I didn't write that down for the day. But anyway, I want to talk about that. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to tell you, Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ."
Now, that's the verse right there. Thank you. Thank you so much, Elder Timberlake. That was the verse I really was looking for. That other one was kind of like it, but it's not. That wasn't it, but it's that one right there. It was complete, carried on to the day of Jesus Christ. I knew that was in there somewhere, but thank you for that. And so we got to remember that the God who has begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it. So you don't have to worry about is this going to happen or that's going to happen. No, just keep trusting in the Lord. Trust him no matter what. Trust him during the waiting period. Trust him, because if you do that, then I'm saying you're going to come out of it all right. The Bible says when we pray, we got to have faith that we're going to receive. So when you pray for it. And so sometimes we because in a waiting period, we don't see it happening. So we'd be like, well, Lord, was it your will? Well, it is his will. He said he would give us houses and land. So it is his will that you have a roof over your head. You know, it is his will. He said he would. He told us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All that other stuff will be added unto you. He says, take no thought for what you're going to eat and what you're going to put on. Them things are going to be, you're going to get. So sometimes we're thinking about things that that God is already going to supply. We don't have to worry about that. Well, we do. We all do it at times. But we got to make sure that we stop worrying about it and being anxious. But that's why he tells us to be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, take your request to God. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer and then trust him for the outcome. He's God. Trust him for the outcome. And even when it doesn't seem like he's coming and other stuff is happening and you're like, well, God, I pray, what happened? Just keep trusting in the Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to keep our trust over what we see and what we feel. Because the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're walking by faith, that means that we are believing God without any logical proof. We just believe in him, and we are trusting in him because we know what he's done before. We know what the Bible says he's done. We know what people have testified about what he's done. So we're going to trust God for that alone. We know God is a healer because he's either healed you or he's healed somebody you know. And so because he's done that, you can trust. And his word said he's a healer. He said, "By with his stripes you're healed." And so because of that, you can trust God that he can heal your body. And I always think about when I was talking about Hezekiah initially on the first one. You know, when Isaiah came to tell Hezekiah he was going to die, you know, Hezekiah put his face to the wall and he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I can't praise you from the grave." And then the Lord gave him 15 more years. But I believe God trusted Hezekiah enough to know that if Hezekiah said he was going to praise him, that that's what he was going to do. Because like I said, he had already tore down the altars. He had already tore down the high places. And he had took away that idol worship. So God knew he meant business about worshiping him. And so because of that, I believe God granted him them 15 more years of life. And so then Hezekiah didn't have a seed at the time either. He had not had a child at that time, and he's in the lineage in the kingdom of in that lineage of David. He was a king, so he was in that lineage, and he had to have a seed to pass that on because the lineage had to keep on to be Christ came. And so we know that that was the reason too. So even though Isaiah was delivering a message from God, God spared his life, and then he had Manasseh. Was it Hezekiah had Manasseh? You know, Manasseh was one of the evilest kings, so he's the one that Saul he killed Isaiah and Saul him asunder. But anyway, he was one of the evil kings, but Hezekiah was a good king. And so, all of those things were going on. But anyway, we got to keep our heart right with God at the conclusion of the matter. We got to keep our heart right with God, and we got to keep our trust in God. Don't trust in man. Man can't do, you know, it's God that, even if you trust, you're saying your boss is telling, oh, I'm going to promote you. Understand that God is going to do the promoting. He takes that one, he lays it up enough. So God is going to do it. He'll bring your gift before a great man. That's what he said. Trust it. Trust God. He will bring your gift before a great man. That's what his word said. Stand right there. When you're doing things and don't seem like things are working out, I had to tell myself this morning, this stuff I told myself even this morning, then Bishop preached what he preached, but I told myself, don't you get discouraged. God said he will bring your gifts before great men. And not that you're trying to be great. It's not about that. But that's what his word promised. So what I'm saying, and I'm saying all that to say, the things that you're gifted in, the things that God has told you to do, just keep going right on forward with it. Even though it don't look like nobody's paying you no attention, look like you're still over there in isolation, and, you know, everybody ignores you, don't matter. Just keep right on going with what God has told you to do, because what he's telling you to do is for somebody. You know, we do things. It's not so much for us as it is for somebody else. And so keep your focus and keep striving. And like Bishop's been preaching about, this is a decade. You don't just plan for this year, but you plan for the decade. You plan for the whole year, the whole 10 years. And so you might have had a rough 10 years this last 10 years. I know I did. But I thank God for the finishing of it because I learned so much in that 10 years. And then the Lord blessed me. He blessed me on the end, right there on the end of it, to get a lot of stuff accomplished. I was paying off bills and I was doing all that and all of these things. And, of course, this is a new year, and you want to get things right. We gotta come to a place where we want to get things right with the Lord. We want to get our finances right. We want to get our diets right. You know, all of that. You know, we are going to fast at the beginning of the year, and those things are going on. And some people go, you know, between the first 2 months of the year, they do fasting and praying. But if we really think about our health, we're going to have to tweak them diets. We got to leave some stuff alone. You know, I was telling somebody, I said, well, you know, in the summer, I was over in this hot house, and I said, so I wasn't cooking nothing because it was too hot to put that stuff, turn that stove on. So it was already 90 degrees when I came in here. So then when you put that stove on, it was going to be over 100. I wasn't going to do it. And so I had began to do something that I hadn't done in years, and that's stop by and give me something to eat. You know, stop somewhere and give me something to eat. So that's a bad habit. So now I got to undo the bad habit and stop doing it. So, you know, I'm trying to do on the conversation, say, okay, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, because you're going to let these things go. And so you really got to fight your way back out. You got to fight your way back out of some of this stuff. And so I told myself, we ain't doing it, because first of all, I can't be gaining no weight because I'm not buying no more clothes. I told myself that you're going to keep wearing this stuff you got because we're not buying no more clothes. We're not putting that kind of investment in clothes ever again. So you better get your weight back down so stuff won't be tight, or you got to go in there tight, one or two. But anyway, you got to go in there tight, because I'm telling you, we not doing all that. But anyway, I'm so thankful
Bryce.
For the. Go ahead, Elder Timberlake.
Okay. Well, I was you were on a roll. I was just waiting for a spot. But I was while you were talking about all this about trust, it just came to me that you know trust is. Built on the posture of humility.
Yes,
so when we trust God, we have to humble ourselves and because the word tells us in John 4, it tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord and he will exalt us. So the things that the enemy will bring things to us to discourage us, but if we keep in a posture of humility, then we would do what the Bible said when he said submit ourselves unto the Lord. Then we'll be able to resist when the enemy comes. Because when we start getting weak, that's when he start coming. Because he see us getting weak and he see a crack, and he start bringing up, God, you've been praying for this a long time and it hadn't happened, and you've been waiting, it's not coming, and you're not. Then he'll start telling you you're not going to get it. And after a while, you start believing that you're not going to get it. So that makes your trust get weak. But if we can learn to stay humble.
Yes.
And when we find ourselves getting a little weary, getting a little discouraged, being frustrated, then we need to make sure we go back to that submission state unto God, because we trust him in a posture of humility. We know that he has our best always in mind.
Yes.
Always he has our best in mind. And so since we know that, then we have to have the confidence to stand on it. The only way we can stand on it is to stay humble so we can be submissive to his will. And as long as we're submissive to his will, we will be able to trust him and endure, because when it looks like it's not going to happen, we know that he who has begun that work in us, he's going to fulfill it, he's going to complete it, because if he said it, he promised it, and it will come to pass. That keeps
yeah.
our confidence filled up. But the enemy wants us to feel defeated. So when we start feeling defeated, then pride, that word that we don't like to deal with, it sneaks in and unaware. It's subtle. It's so subtle, we don't think that's what it is. But we're putting something else in the place of God to make us doubt him, to get us out of position. But humility will keep us in position and will keep us trusting God, so we won't lean to our own understanding, because we wouldn't know to always acknowledge him. And we know he would direct our path, for the steps of a good man are always ordered by the Lord. So when the Lord has ordered our steps, even when we don't understand it, we trust him, because we are submitted to him to know that he has our best interest at heart.
Thank you. Let's and you're right, because I remember yesterday I was talking to Elder Timberlake yesterday. We was at church, and this is funny. She asked me a question, and she said, Elder, she said, when are you going to get a permanent job? And I said, you know, I was just talking about this yesterday. This is what I told her. And I began to say something, and I thought about that today even. And I said, we're not getting high and lifted. We're not going to be high and lifted up. It'll come when God, I know what I pray for, and I've asked her, and she said she was going to pray and touch and agree with me, and she knows what I said yesterday. But the one thing I will not do is act like I deserve anything. If I don't deserve it, but God will bless me because I'm his child, because I am his child, and he'll do it because of that, because it's his will and it's and I'm his child. But I don't have no way reason to be puffed up about it. I got to humble my soul with fasting, got to humble myself with prayer, and got to humble myself saying this word and just stay humble and do what I can, do the best I can everywhere I can. But the wonderful thing about it is God has always blessed me. I'm telling you, he blessed me with the contract job I'm on now. They keep telling me they're going to hire me permanently, and then they be on the hiring free. But you know what? The Lord has got it covered. That's what I tell myself. Don't you get excited about it. God has got you covered. He is in control. He knows exactly what you have need of. Because I was over there, I was starting to fuss. I said, Lord, everybody I work with on this job, they all done got a permanent job in me. I said, I don't understand. That's what I said. And so I had to go back and repent. I said, no, we're not going back down that road no more. We done been there, done that, and we done grown from that, so we're not going back. We ain't letting the enemy take us back to them places. We got to stay humble. We got to stay focused on God, because he is the one that supplies our needs. He is the one that answers prayer. He is the one you can trust in regardless of what you see. It is God that can do it. I don't care what's going on in your body or what's going on. It is God that you can trust. It is God that's going to do the blessing. It is God that's going to, as she said, he said, if you humble yourself before God, then he will exalt you in due time. So if God is going to do it, you got to recognize who is doing it. It is God that's doing it. God that fights the battles. That's what was wrong with Judah. They had begun to trust in themselves and not in God. I'm not trusting in my ability. I'm in trusting in God. When I go to work and I can't figure out something, I go to asking God and the Lord, I need you to help me here because I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do about this or how to do it. Could you give me a strategy so I can get it done? And he'll give me a strategy. I'm asking for a strategy right now to do something in this house. But anyway, I ain't going to tell y'all what it is. But anyway, I told the Lord I need a strategy because this is getting on my nerves. But anyway, God will bless you with the strategy you need to get the job done. I want somebody to be encouraged today. Keep trusting in the Lord. Do not let the enemy cause you to get discouraged because you're waiting. In this time and season, just keep waiting on the Lord. He's got it covered. He is covering you during this time. I'm telling you, he is covering you during this time. And so you just got to stay focused on him, stay encouraged in the Lord, get in that word and read that word and just tell God, Lord, I need you to do it because I don't know sometimes. The word of God will bless you. I'm trying to read something and talk at the same time. Yeah, trust in the, thank you, Mr. Smith, trust in the Lord no matter what goes on. You have got to keep trusting in God because I'm telling you, no matter what it is, I've got to trust in the Lord. And I was telling somebody about something, another situation, they asked me about that too. And I told them, I said, well, it's out of my hand. I can't do I have exhausted all input to it. I can't do nothing about it. They're not working with me. It's done. So it is in the hands of the Lord. So when you put it in God's hand, the outcome is going to be for your good. That's what you got to understand. You got to trust him that whatever you have no control over, the outcome of that thing is going to be for your good because you're trusting in the Lord. What did it say the characteristics of a blessed man was? He trusts in the Lord and he hopes in the Lord. Keep your trust in the Lord and keep your hope in the Lord. You're going to be a blessed person. And then what did it say in verse 7? It said, he is like a tree planted by the waters, spreads out roots by the river, so he's well watered, well nourished, shall see, not see when the heat comes. So when all the stuff comes, you ain't got to worry about it because you're covered. Leaves will be green, and this is in the drought season, but your leaves are going to be green, okay? Not careful. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried or frustrated in the years of drought. When drought comes, you're going to be like they was back in when Joseph was around. You're going to have enough to keep going. You're going to have all of it you done stored up, and then never cease to bear fruit. And, of course, Psalms 1 and 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And see, what it say? Delight of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And then it says, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Come on. And whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So keep doing. That's what I'm saying. We got to keep going, even though we don't may not see the results we want to see. Keep doing. Keep going. Keep doing it, because the Lord is going to prosper, because it's the Lord that is giving it to you. So I want you to be encouraged by that today. And then we're going to get ready to go, and we'll be back here next week. We're going to talk about some Bible stories and about trust and how we can continue to build a better relationship with God through trust. But if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is another. Maybe you didn't go down this morning for church, and you should have went down and gave your life to the Lord. Well, here go an opportunity here. You have an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then you can find you a good Bible-believing teaching church so that you can begin to grow, and you'll have somewhere to go that will help you, and the people will help you. Don't forsake your, you know, get in there with everybody. Get right on in there. But if you need the Lord, if you want to be saved today, if you repeat this after me, and you are heart and sincere, I believe that you have been saved. And the angels in heaven are going to start rejoicing about that. They're throwing a party on your behalf if you come into Christ. And it says, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe on the cross for my sins you died and rose from the grave to give me life. I know you are the only way to God. This is talking about Jesus. So now I want to quit being disobedient and give you my life. Please forgive me, change my life, and show me how to know you. And, Lord, please fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank God for each one of you that tried to pray that prayer with me. That, you know, I was going a little fast, but anyway, to try to pray that prayer. But God knows your heart and the sincerity of your heart. You just simply said, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and I accept you as my Savior. The same thing is happening. They are rejoicing in heaven over you coming to Christ, and we're so glad. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. We are all a family, and we are the bride of Christ. So that's what you have come into. So thank God for each and every one of you, and I thank God for all of you that joined me here on Facebook Live. I thank you, Sister Dodson and Elder Timberlake, Minister Dodson and Elder Timberlake. Thank you so much for joining me on the call today and your input and all of the things that you've done. And so, Elder Sister Dodson, would you pray us out?
Amen. Oh, God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the word that we received on this tonight. Dear God, it was rich and food for our souls. Dear God, I pray each person that listened, I pray that either they were planted or either the word water them, Lord, but we know that you will give the increase. Lord, we send your increase out to the people. I pray that you bless Elder Bryson, Elder Timberlake, and all people that have been listening in, and those on Facebook. I pray you be with them and guide them throughout the week. Let us be thankful for who you are, and we bless your name and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank God for Sister Dodson. I keep calling her Sister, but Minister Dodson. And Elder Tim, like, I thank God for each of them, and I just plead the blood of Jesus over their life, that the Lord would bless them and keep them. And I thank God for you. Now, we'll be back here next week. We got to get it back moving. So we'll be back here next week on the Prosper Souls broadcast. And then look for us next, I think it's next Tuesday, no, next Monday at 7 o'clock. We're going to be doing single talk. And so I got a young man going to be on the line with me. We're going to talk about some things. And so we're going to talk about some things. I'll just talk about that all over in single talk. But anyway, we'll be back here next week. And then we're going to put these series out. We've had a bunch of series that we've done. We've had the Gifts of the Spirit. No, we didn't do the Gifts of the Spirit. We did the ministry gifts, and we did the motivational gifts, and then we did spiritual gifts. So we did spiritual gifts. We got a series about that. And then we got a series about receiving the Holy Ghost. We got a series about salvation. We got, you know, and so then we got, you know, the different series. If you want those series, you know, inbox me. You know, we'll let you know. So anyway, but we're getting those together, and somebody's going to go back and kind of edit them because, you know, we'll be on here just talking. But anyway, the Lord's going to do it, and we got all of them. And then Elder Timberlake is going to come back and finish you. Melody, she's going to come back and finish that. And then, of course, we got commitment, consistency, and patience, I think, are left in this building a better relationship with God series. This is a 12-part series. And so we've done 12 parts. And, I mean, we've been on this for over a year. And so, because, you know, each topic is, you know, we take about any time about, you know, four, anywhere from four to seven sessions on it. So anyway, it's pretty big. So we kind of exhaust, try to get through everything about the Word of God. So it's been a lot going on. And if you want to hear this, I'm going to try. You know, I say I'm going to do this and then I forget to do it. But since I don't have to work tomorrow, I'm going to sit here and put that prayer series out and do that. And then before Elder Timberlake come back on with humility, I'll put hers back out there so you can build up to hear those. And those will be out there Monday and Friday. We get 2 hours a day on the broadcast, so I won't be on here Facebook Live, but we'll be on the broadcast, so you can look at it that way. I put on Facebook and Twitter and all those things. But anyway, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us here on the Prosper Souls broadcast. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.